Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad Allison DeBall is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Allison is the founder of DeBall & Associates, which is a marketing and public relations firm, and she is an award-winning public relations expert. She's worked a number of years for some of the top PR firms, agencies in the world, and she now is a very proud owner of her own small business. And so she now knows what it's like to make payroll on Friday, right, Allison?
I know all about that. How are you, Jim?
All right, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, things are a little different now that you're out on your own, got your own business. You actually have to think about where the money's going to come from on Friday for payroll.
It's quite a shift from just waiting for that check to be direct deposited into your account.
Exactly, like Santa Claus every Friday, right?
I know.
Now you're Santa Claus.
That's right. Sometimes I think back then was the good old days, but yep. Overall, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Don't you sometimes? I know how you feel because I do this myself. I was a good employee of corporations for 23 years,
sure.
Allison, and I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun in those years, but if I ever think about going back to work for a big company, I get over it real quick when I just go visit them. What about you?
You know, I'm the exact same way. I started DeBall & Associates about 11 years ago, so it's been a while, and I really value my experience in large companies. I view that as a fabulous training ground. I really do, and that's just invaluable for me. But when I think about the schedule, sometimes there were politics internally.
Having meetings to plan meetings.
Oh, my heavens, the Monday morning muffin meeting, the Thursday morning super senior staff meeting. It just wasn't always the most efficient use of time. And being on our own and running small businesses, we really have control of how we do spend time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so important to me.
But every decision we make in all that control has the potential to be a monumental decision, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And it can either keep us going or it can take us down. And,
right.
And you know, that's what I point out to folks is that small business owners are never much more at least, than one bad decision away from a meltdown.
Right. And on the flip side, they're also one good decision away from wonderful success.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason why I encourage small business owners, Allison, to make... Don't wait till you have to make a big decision. I encourage them to make lots of little decisions. That way, if you make a mistake, you know, instead of if you got a big thing to do, turn it into 25 little decisions instead of one or two big decisions. That way, if you make a mistake along the way, those mistakes are made on little decisions. What do you think about that?
I agree entirely. And that requires being a proactive planner and looking 10, 15, 20 steps down the way,
mm-hmm.
and saying, look, for me to get from point A to point X, here's what I have to do. And really taking a careful look at what's coming up. I agree with you entirely that if you just wait until it's time to really enact the big decisions, they're so much more burdened and they're so much more fraught with risk because you didn't take the small steps along the way.
Well, that's one of the things that you encourage people to avoid, the mistakes you encourage them to avoid, and that's not to be a reactive business owner.
You know, that's exactly right. You and I were talking earlier about some of the most common business mistakes we see small companies make. And we work with companies that are small and some that are very large in our communication programs. And three of the things that we see the most often are, as you just pointed out, being reactive, not having plans that really they can follow on a consistent basis. They're simply reacting to market shifts or competitive threats or internal challenges rather than moving forward on their own path. Another thing we see is with young companies having a short-term strategy. In other words, a sort of limited plan of action that may only go through the next 3 or 6 months or through launch day, and then they don't have a clear sense of what will come after.
Right. Or are their plan is through launch day, and they expect whatever they wind up with at launch to be valid for 5 years.
That's exactly right.
When it's probably only going to be valid for another 90 days.
That's exactly right. So there, you know, the second one just would be short-term strategy planning, and a third one, and then I have some examples if you'd like, we can go into them.
Mm-hmm.
Is emotionally driven decision making, and boy, that's one of the hardest ones to avoid. Every company is going to confront difficult circumstances, whether it's market conditions, whether it's employee problems, whether it's the competition doing something unanticipated. These happen to all companies, and the ones who are able to really step back and make the most rational, most even-keeled business decision possible will fare better than those who simply respond through panic or fear or knee-jerk reaction.
Are you seeing more difficulty in small businesses in those companies that were 20th century companies once upon a time, now trying to make their way in the 21st century and not having a lot of success? Or is it across the board, new companies are having as much difficulty as older companies? What do you see?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure it's really new companies versus old companies or when they were founded, as it really is what the business approach is. We see some very young companies that are really thriving, and we see some companies that have been doing fantastically suddenly being a little bit on shaky ground simply because they are not able to successfully address changes within their business and within the market. So,
well, the things that are happening, the reason I ask that question is,
uh-huh.
and maybe by 2008 we've wrung all of the 20th century thinkers out of the market by now, but if what I tell people, Allison, is it's okay to fall in love with what you do,
mm-hmm.
but you can't fall in love with how you do it. Because that's what's changing. That's what's changing. We come back. We're going to get Allison to give us some examples of her three common errors that you and I, she wants to prevent you and me from making. I'm listening, folks. I hope you are. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out, using to your advantage, and no barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and use our stuff. smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Allison DeBall is with us. She's our guest and our new friend, soon-to-be old friend. She is the founder of DeBall & Associates, a PR firm out of San Francisco, working, though, across the country, probably around the world. Allison, tell us a little bit about your company.
Thanks. DeBall & Associates was started just about 11 years ago. We work with companies in technology, healthcare, consumer, and professional services, and as you said, they are around the world. And we do strategic communication programs. We help them really define who they are competitively, what their messaging is, and then how to reach out to their audiences through a range of public relations program tactics. And it depends on what the company is and what their goals are, but we have had a great time with working with companies small and large.
And so, folks, it doesn't matter where you are, she can help you. Give us your website, please, Allison.
Sure. It's www.DeBallAndAssociates.com. And DeBall is DeBallAndAssociates.com.
.com. Check it out, folks, and use it to your advantage. Allison, we were talking about these three big common errors. being too reactive, folks, not proactive enough was one. The other one, the second one was having short-term strategies only.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to have short-term strategies, but they got to be part of a larger plan.
Right.
And number three, the emotional part of decision making, and which will get you into a lot of trouble. So, Allison, talk to us about these three.
Sure. So, for example, we talked about having a proactive strategy, not being reactive. And again, obviously, you're going to have to evolve to market shifts. For example, we're in a recession right now. That's different than it was 2 years ago. Clearly, that requires some responsiveness. But what I'm talking about is a program that is designed exclusively to react. That's just going to get you into trouble. For example, we have worked with a young software company that, in its category, is the third entrant doing the specific thing that they're doing. There's room in this category for three and more players. And what this company has is proprietary technology. They could leapfrog over the two early comers. But because they don't have a plan of action, what they're only doing is responding to what numbers one and two are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're simply basing all their activities on what their competition is doing.
And they're always going to be... You know, it's, what is it they say about the dogs in the sled, the dog sled, you know, a harness? You know, if you're
always
not the lead,
in the same place.
If you're, well, they also say if you're not the lead dog, your view's never going to change.
That's right.
You know, and she's always going to be looking up somebody else's backside, and that's what your guys are doing right now, aren't they?
That's exactly what they're doing right now, and it's unfortunate because they have the technology that could leapfrog them to the front of that dog sled pack.
What's holding them back? Are they passive about what they have? Are they not confident of what they have? Are they undercapitalized? What's the problem?
I think that they don't realize how severe a mistake this is.
Yeah.
And two, I think that they are confident in what they have, but I don't think that they really are able to look clearly enough and far enough down the pathway.
It's surprising to me that somebody who could develop proprietary technologies that would be so cutting edge and then not know what to do with it.
Well, but isn't that the dilemma? You know, CEOs all over the place have great skills in one area and less in others.
Well, and this is the classic example of somebody who's capable of being an entrepreneur, but they're not capable of taking it to market.
That's exactly right, and that's
they're great inventors. They're great inventors, but they're not capable of taking the market. And you know what? The people I know who are like that, who made it and who knocked it out of the park, recognized it, and they hired. They literally. I know one guy in particular. He was a great developer of software, but he realized he wasn't a good CEO.
Right.
And so he literally owned the company and demoted himself to vice president and hired a president.
Smart man.
Yep.
And as you said, he probably knocked the ball out of the park.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing that happens is, well, I'll tell you what, before we got to go, we're going to get you back another day. You got a lot to teach us. Talk to us about the emotional thing here.
Sure. Take deep breaths. Don't make rash decisions. I'll just say quickly, we have a company in healthcare. It's very seasonal for what they do. They have orthopedic devices. Patients don't want to have those inserted at certain times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
When business drops at that time of year, the CEO routinely panics. And rather than charting this year on year, he panics. He stops spending operationally. He lowers his marketing budget, lowers his operations budget. And then, of course, when business resumes, as it naturally does in the fall, he finds himself short. He hasn't been building momentum all those months.
He needs to learn how to build a 12 to 24 month cash flow statement, doesn't he?
So
he
can
see how his operation is moving, and when he needs to call his bank and when he doesn't need to call his bank.
That's exactly right, but that's not what's happening. He wants to be consistent month over month.
But now, the next time you come back on the show, Allison, you're going to have fixed all these guys, right?
If they will let us, we will have.
Well, absolutely. What's wrong with these people? Allison, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I would love to.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We enjoyed it. Good job.
Thanks so much.
See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Braden Cox. We're going to talk about net neutrality. And folks, I know that sounds like something that will put you to sleep, but I'm telling you, it's going to affect your future. I promise you, more than you probably know. 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.